This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we go on, Travis, I should mention Mike Clellan has been on the Paracast in years past. Perhaps we'll have Tim look into possibly getting him on again in the near future. Travis, continue, please.
So as I was saying, you know, there's the possibility that these encounters, whether you're talking about UFOs, whether you're talking about ghost encounters, whether you're talking about Sasquatch encounters, or some of these other monster things, that the Dogman is a big interest of mine as well. Big fan of the late Linda Godfrey, and quote her frequently in my books. You know, there is this thought that these encounters may be the other world's way of opening people to the idea that there's something more than just what you can see, you know, smell, touch, taste, and so forth here. So, you know, these may actually be initiatic experiences for some people, not necessarily everybody. A lot of the Sasquatch encounters that I covered in Sasquatch Canada were very much of the, you know, this was, I was out hunting in the woods, and I encountered this animal that I didn't recognize. But if you had substituted in a bear or a wolf or whatever, you could have done that, because it seemed like they just had an encounter with a wild animal out in the woods. So not everybody has that phenomena, that opening kind of thing, or the poltergeist activity, or whatever happened to them. But certain people do. And my thought is that maybe the folks that are having these strange experiences after their strange experiences have actually opened in some way to those strange experiences. And their world has opened up a little bit.
There is that mystical aspect to the wild man of the woods. A lot, I'm not going to say most, but a lot of Native American cultures consider the wild man to be not quite of this world, that they can be here for a while and then go back to where it is that they come from, but that it's, like you said, you know, a hunter could see a wolf or a bear or an eagle, and to the Native Americans, that would be a visit from your spirit animal. So the Sasquatch Bigfoot could be the very same thing. There's that mystical aspect, that bringing you in to the realization that our reality, there's more to it than the Western world wants to realize.
Yeah, the wood woes is actually, you know, we have stories about that going back several centuries in Europe. So it's not necessarily just a Native American thing. I think that if you looked at the pre-Christian spirituality of a lot of Europe, you'd probably find some of these stories wandering around too. In my research, as looking at different tribes and their lore and so forth, it seems like some of the native people, some of the indigenous folks out there, simply view Sasquatch as another people. They're the people who live in the forest. Others of them seem to view the Sasquatch as a monster. There's definitely tribes that believe that, Sasquatch, you know, snatch people and eat them. And then you have the third derivative that I found, and I don't claim to be a Native American folklorist, but that I've found in my own researches, is that idea that you're talking about, Tim. Linda Godfrey talks about a Ho-Chunk elder that she talked to in her researches, who told her that things like Sasquatch, things like the Dogman, and so forth, are simply beings that live in the other world and are capable of walking between the worlds into our world and taking a physical form while they're here, and doing whatever it is that they've chosen to come here and do, which seems with Sasquatch to be a lot of the time tromping around and leaving tracks and, you know, eating berries and so forth and scaring the crud out of campers. But the, you know, there is that mystical element to a lot of the native lore that, you know, the big man is not necessarily, you know, of this world. And, you know, you have to take that into account, you know, the indigenous peoples of North America have been here for several thousand years. You know, you figure that they know that, you know, something was up with certain creatures. Having said that, they accept that this being that we call Sasquatch or Bigfoot, I never have liked that term a whole lot. I like Sasquatch better. Seems more respectful. You know, if I'm going to talk about a big guy like that, I'm going to be a little respectful of it.
Does Sasquatch have an ego problem, though? Do they resent being called Class B if you don't see them? Do they resent being referred to as a Bigfoot? I wonder.
It's entirely possible. In any event, this idea that you know, that Native people see Sasquatch as something a little more seems to, as I said, pervade some of the folklore anyway. And this idea that they can switch from one world to the other and assume a physical form here would explain a lot, you know, when we're talking about footprints and so forth. You know, not to mention, you know, and I talk about footprints in the forest poltergeist because the, you know, the Sasquatch phenomena is not the only being that leaves tracks. There are several documented documented poltergeist and haunting cases where tracks have been left behind. So, you know, we can't even take that as a solid, you know, evidence of a solid physical creature because, in the Black Monk case, for instance, one of the problems that they had frequently was pools of water manifesting. And Tim, if you've done poltergeist research, I'm sure you've run into this. They had problems with pools of water manifesting. Toward the end of that case, the mother was coming down the stairs, and there was a carpet runner that went out to the front door, and she noticed that the runner was completely saturated. And as she stood there watching, she saw human footprints in the saturated carpet going out the door. Hmm. So, you know, it's not just Sasquatch that's running around leaving footprints. There's also, you know, the case of the Bell Witch where the Bell Witch is supposed to have approached Bell Jr. after Bell Sr.'s death and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to make footprints just like your father out in the snow." And as he watched, boot prints appeared in the ground going across in front of his cabin. So we can't even use tracks as a, you know, this is an absolute proof that there is a solid physical Sasquatch because we have this strange phenomena that's also capable of doing these things.
What kind of analyses have been done on the footprints to see where they might have originated?
Now that I haven't. You know, I don't know that anybody's actually seen anything making the footprints, so it's going to be a little hard to analyze them. They haven't been studied as intently as Sasquatch footprints. We don't. The poltergeist doesn't have a Jeff Meldrum, you know, collecting and analyzing footprint casts. I think mostly because most of the poltergeist cases, you don't get quite the depth of impression as you do with Sasquatch. So it would be hard to actually analyze those footprints.
Yes, but I think here if they're made by a physical creature, not wearing shoes, of course, and they leave a trace, would there possibly be DNA or some characteristic to measure? Interesting question. We'll have Travis talk about that in our next segment with Gene. Tim and Travis, you're in
the Paracast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, William T. Watson, we call him Travis. What do you think? Anyone looking at those footprints would look at things like measurable chemical or physical results?
I did some wilderness search and rescue in my youth and did some man tracking. So I have some experience with tracks. I don't think of myself as a tracker, but I've actually followed trails and done that kind of thing. You know, one of the problems that you would encounter as far as DNA and that sort of thing is just contamination. If you have a creature or a poltergeist or whatever walking along a riverbank, for instance, that set of tracks, as far as DNA analysis is concerned, is going to be almost immediately contaminated because it's in dirt. It's going to be very hard to separate the strata from the actual DNA. Now, I suppose it could be done, but even in the case of Sasquatch, the times that people have collected samples that they thought might be Sasquatch material, the best that we can hope for without a body on a table is that this DNA be identified as unidentified, or possibly hominid, but not actually, how would you say, not human. And we've seen a couple of cases where those kinds of results may have happened. I'm leery about a lot of the DNA stuff that's going on because the people that are collecting it are not professionals. So there's always the possibility of contamination. If you want to get good DNA evidence, you're going to have to get an actual live forensics person out in the field to do the collection for you. But, to my knowledge, nobody's done anything like that with poltergeist. Certainly they've tried to do it with Sasquatch. There have been some interesting results, but there's not anything to compare it to. We don't have a Sasquatch that's actually been captured or killed to use as a sample. The best we can hope for is an inconclusive result.
Well, I do know that in a couple of cases, poltergeist cases where blood was found, like coming down the walls or pools of blood, and then when the type was analyzed, it actually was able to come up with a blood type that was in both the cases that I'm thinking of was completely different from anybody who lived in the house. So, it's and the whole DNA analysis in the wild, they've now started this where they could collect, like a water sample or a dirt sample from an area and be able to identify all the animals that have, been in that area. That is such a new science that I don't think that anybody has really done too much when it comes to looking for Sasquatch, and certainly nobody has done it in home poltergeist cases.
And again, as I pointed out, even if you're able to discern, there was a wolf here, there was a fox here, there was a deer here, there was a we don't know what the heck this is here. And that's the best you're going to get because we don't know what a Sasquatch is. We don't have one, we don't have a body on a table or one in a cage that we could take samples from and analyze the DNA and say, okay, this is Sasquatch DNA. So if we find this stuff out in the field, then we're good. The best we can hope for is an inconclusive result. And that makes people crazy. I know, there's not much you can do about that. But I find it really interesting that kind of technology is being developed. I hadn't heard about that.
You had earlier referenced the Bell Witch, which took place in Tennessee in the early 1800s. That was another case that started outside and then moved itself inside to the John Bell household, but it first was something that the elder John Bell saw what he thought was some kind of a small animal that he couldn't identify that he took a shot at, and then they started finding footprints. chickens were killed, rocks were being thrown around outside, and then it moved into the house with then voices and all the other good stuff.
Yeah, and you know, and escalated.
oh, big time escalated.
To a point that, you know, it's just, it's a very interesting case, and it's one that, you know, people have written, you know, books about and argued over for quite some time. But yeah, it turned into quite the fiasco. But, you know, again, as you point out, it began outside, you know, and this is one of those silo things that I was talking about. It's like, if we get this kind of stuff happening inside a house, it's a poltergeist. But if we move it out into the woods, it's a Sasquatch. Now, how does that make sense? I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. You know, why not look at the phenomena overall and say, oh, hey, there's something, some energy, some spirit, some something that's causing these disturbances. And sometimes these disturbances happen in houses, sometimes they happen out in the woods, and sometimes they happen in both. You know, you have the example of, you know, in Sasquatch lore, there's a lot of situations where people will talk about something banging on the side of a trailer, a cabin, a house, that kind of thing. And you think, oh, well, you know, because Sasquatch have been seen within a 100-mile radius, it must be Sasquatch, right? But then again, if you look at poltergeist lore, what's one of the things that happens all the time in poltergeist cases is banging on the walls, you know? And so, you know, and banging on the furniture, so you get a wood-knocking effect. I talk about the loot hold case from Holzer's book, in my book, where this fellow was, this Swiss farmer had a plague of poltergeist activity. In one of the circumstances, he and his wife were sitting in their kitchen or living room or someplace. Something knocks on the door. Wife gets up, goes and looks. There's nobody there.
We're going to have nobody there if we don't have these announcements.
Okay.
We want to be there. We want to be there and figure out what the heck is going on. We can't use the other word because this is family-friendly radio, right? We forgot Travis, Gene, and Tim. You're in.
Well, the Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
USA News Update. Prosecutor Nathan Wade has announced his resignation from Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia. Wade cited his commitment to democracy and the urgency to expedite the case's progress as reasons for his decision. A Georgia judge ruled that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis could continue to oversee the case if Wade was removed. Israel is gearing up for a military operation in Rafah, the southernmost city in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that the IDF is readying for the operation and making preparations for civilian evacuation. A tornado in Ohio resulted in at least 3 fatalities, while another tornado in Indiana caused multiple injuries. Ohio experienced a total of 5 confirmed tornadoes. Additionally, a tornado damaged more than 50 structures in a small town in northern Kentucky, which is located close to the Indiana border. John Schaefer, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, Travis, this raises an interesting possibility here. Part of the problem in research is tunnel vision. People exist in their own little universes, and this is true, of course, with politics and many other subjects. You exist in your own little place, and you don't see what's going on around you, and you are inclined to explain things in that place. So if you believe in Bigfoot, okay, it's possibly some kind of physical creature, maybe a missing link, whatever it is, physical creature, you don't look at poltergeists. You don't look at spirits of the dead, and you have a chapter of that in your book about people who might be dead or things that might be dead. You don't look at UFOs. You don't look at whether Sasquatch and UFOs are seen in the same areas, things like that. What do you think, Travis?
Well, yeah, tunnel vision is a phenomena that exists both in paranormal research and outside of it. You know, if you are a scientist, for instance, and you go off and you do the university thing and you get your PhD and you're doing research, you are channeled into a particular area. You know, you are expected to research, you know, to develop an interest in and research X to the exclusion of everything else. So this specialization that we're talking about is a phenomena that we see not just in paranormal research, but in scientific research as well. In the paranormal, though, with Sasquatch, with the UFOs, with ghost lore, with all of the other crazy stuff, strange falls from the sky, and all of the fun things that you find in Charles Fort's work, we definitely see this. You know, you will get a circumstance where, say, somebody has a Sasquatch encounter, or they know somebody who has a Sasquatch encounter, or they read about a Sasquatch, they get interested in this phenomena. And they latch on to this idea that there is a bipedal primate, a giant bipedal primate wandering around out in the woods, out in the wilderness. And that is what's going on, and we're going to track that sucker down, and we're going to, you know, we're going to take pictures of him, or, I mean, in some cases, people are out there to actually put a body on the table. I don't know how successful they're going to be. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, I could get to eat crow at any time. There's always people out doing that kind of stuff. But those people look at people who believe in ghosts and are doing ghost research and think they're full of and the ghost people will look at the UFO researchers and say, those guys, I don't know why they're wasting their time. Yeah, I mean, what is this weird things flying around in the sky, whatever. But if you take a more Freudian viewpoint to this whole thing, to this whole area of paranormal research, you realize that there are commonalities that thread all through these areas of research. And this is what I'm trying to point out on the Force Poltergeist. You know, it's like, we don't know what a poltergeist is. We don't know, you know, I mean, the word derives from the German for noisy spirit, something along that line, noisy spirit. But we don't know, is it a spirit? Is it actually human-caused? There's a theory in parapsychology that poltergeist phenomena is basically a psychic temper tantrum, that certain people in certain stress situations were unable to express their emotions outwardly, express their emotions by having what amounts to a psychokinetic temper tantrum. And this is what causes the poltergeist phenomena. I don't know that I completely buy that, but it's certainly the case that a lot of poltergeist cases have a focus. There is a particular person or persons in that case that the phenomena revolves around. I know that a lot of people say, oh, yes, it's a prepubescent child or, you know, it's a child in adolescence and blah, blah, blah. That's not necessarily true. There have been cases where, for instance, the focus was a, you know, repressed housewife, for instance, or a servant who was in their 20s who was not being treated well. But if we recognize these things and we start to open our minds to other ideas, we realize that these phenomena that are occurring out in the woods, these Class B encounters, could easily be explained by this theory that William Roll called RSPK, random spontaneous psychokinesis, which is his big fancy term for basically a poltergeist. If it's true that certain humans, when they repress their emotions, act out using psychokinesis, moving things with their minds, why would that not happen outside as well as inside? I wrote a little fictional vignette in the book where, you know, you have two campers who maybe are having marital problems and they go on a backpacking trip to try and iron things out, and things just get worse and they're both frustrated, and suddenly you have this outbreak of activity around them. That's as possible as anything else. It's as possible as a large bipedal primate or some spirit flying around acting out, too. There may be human causes. There may be causes from what I call the other world. You know, there may be an actual primate wandering around and causing some of this stuff. If we try to nail it down to just one thing, we're leaving out a whole lot of other things that could be going on. That's really the thrust of the book, is as you said earlier, trying to get people to take a more open mind with this phenomena, with all of these phenomena, really.
Well, that kind of leads me to this chapter 15 in your book, The Human Dead. Okay, so we're considering here, is there an afterlife? We die, we go to this place where we are judged for what we did, supposedly, at least in some religious concepts, and then they decide what can be done for that. There was a movie, I think, some years back called Defending Your Life, where this executive does a screwy thing with his brand new BMW, and he tries to pick up something on the floor in the car, and he crashes into a truck. And then he has to account for what happened during his life. So the human dead, let's relate that to what we're talking about.
So we know from massive amounts of psychical research, you know, that the haunting phenomena and this idea that some part of the human being survives death is accepted amongst almost all peoples throughout the world. The details of it, as you said, vary according to person's religion, according to their belief system, but it seems that almost all of the world's spiritual beliefs have some belief that humans survive the process that we call death. We also find extensive literature in the psychical realms that talk about how these remnants of the dead, whatever you want to call them, well, we can call them ghosts just for the sake of having a word to use. I don't know that that's necessarily the best word to use, but you know, we need some referent. So we know that these ghosts seem to be able to affect, to a certain extent, their physical environment. And you see this in haunting cases all the time. You know, a poltergeist is like the extreme of physical activity in a haunting. But, you know, I mean, in the old days, or, you know, and I understand there are still ghost hunters who do this. One of the classic things that people did was leave flour on the floor to see if they could get footprints again. We're talking about footprints again. You know, so there was a physical effect there. People in haunting scenarios often describe things disappearing and then reappearing later. You know, hearing voices, you know, hearing footsteps, which is a classic Sasquatch thing too. These Class B encounters, you often hear people say, "Oh, well, I heard something walking through the forest, and it was definitely bipedal. I would know." Yeah, you would. But not necessarily a bipedal primate wandering around in the woods. It could be whatever this poltergeist is, or it could be one of the human dead. There are plenty of them around here. But yeah, so we see that these remnants, these ghosts, seem to have a physical effect on their environment, in some cases at least. Sometimes we just see apparitions or whatever. But, you know, even in the apparition cases, you have cold spots. You know, you do have a definite influence on the physical environment. So again, people die outside all the time.
We've got more with Travis, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we had to stop you mid-sentence. We like to do that, Travis, because we're really rude people, Tim and I. But why don't you go on with what you were talking about?
So I was talking about this idea that that ghosts, for want of a better term, have a physical effect in their environment. And I was talking about this idea that people die outside all the time. It happens. But for some reason, when you say haunting, everybody thinks of, you know, castle or somebody's house or you know, maybe a business or some. It's inside a building somewhere. Why is that? Why do we think that hauntings only happen indoors? It's entirely possible that some remnant of the human soul complex that is attached to, for instance, a particular area in the forest, you know, maybe this was their happy place and, you know, they've chosen to go back there. You know, if you disturb that place, then you might expect to see some of these phenomena that we talk about as Class B encounters, you know, these footsteps and maybe even some of the stone throwing and wood knocks and that sort of thing. Again, I did a little fictional vignette for that section of the book where, you know, this fella, you know, he'd been hiking in this forest and so forth. And, you know, he's killed in a car accident and, you know, this is his happy place. So this is where he goes to hang out while he's dead. And, you know, they clear cut a part of his forest and he's not happy. And so people in the area that go into the area start reporting these strange phenomena happening around them with footsteps and you know, tracks and knocks on wood and that sort of thing, because this spirit, this ghost or whatever it is, has been, its ire has been aroused. And we know that, you know, for instance, the Celts back in pre-Christian times were very serious about, you know, the festival of Samhain, which we call Halloween now, you know, being sure that they got themselves indoors before the sunset, and you know, they left out offerings for you know, both the fair folk and for the human dead that came to visit. Sometimes they actually put those offerings on the table and had a supper for people that were dead. You know, these kinds of traditions lead you to the idea, the conclusion that these people were trying to placate their dead, and there must be a reason for that. And my idea is that, you know, maybe Dave figured that some of these folks could cause them trouble if they didn't play nice, you know, if they weren't polite and left out food at the appropriate time. So, you know, that's just one of many things that, you know, I talk about in the book that, you know, is a possibility that could account for some of the strange things that people are encountering out in the woods.
You have a whole chapter, in fact, dedicated to Sasquatch in comparison with the Fae, which, you know, I think that is an interesting concept.
Well, I came by this idea honestly. I told you that my first published work with Beyond the Fray was a novel. And in the novel, Sasquatch is actually what I characterize as a wild fae, which is one of the fair folk who's not attached to one of the two courts of fairy tradition, which is actually a Scottish folklore meme, basically. There's plenty of evidence that the fair folk didn't actually, in folklore, didn't actually divide into courts, but the Scots seem to see them that way. When we're talking about disturbances in the woods, and particularly when we're talking about a phenomena that seems to be very intent at times on driving people out of the woods, or at least a particular area of the woods, you almost have to talk about the fair folk. Again, being from Canada and having done some research, we have some very extensive fairy lore in the Atlantic provinces in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia that basically came over with the Scots, the Celts that migrated over to the New World a while back. There's some interesting derivations, but I don't want to get off topic. But we do have fairy lore up here in Canada, and there's extensive fairy lore, of course, in Europe. The indigenous folks have their little people as well, and even the native Hawaiians have the Minnehuna, which seem to be a type of fairy being. So we have Morgan Daimler, who's a writer on these topics, talks about how we have an extensive folkloric history of human interaction with beings of the other world, basically, which we can characterize as the fae or the fair folk, fairy, however you like to call them. And when we look at the lore, we find that, these beings could be responsible for some of this poltergeist-like activity that happens out in the woods. Some people may be familiar with the fairy being known as a brownie, which is, a Scottish folkloric being. The brownie was actually well known for helping out around homesteads and in homes. If it was given certain offerings and so forth, it would actually clean house or do farm chores or those kinds of things. A very handy thing to have around, right? But you didn't want to tick one off, because if you did, in the case that I talk about in the book, this particular brownie was responsible for harvesting corn, basically. And one of the farmhands made a comment about this being that wasn't doing a very good job. He wasn't cutting the corn right. There was an outbreak of poltergeist-like activity in the house. And then all of the corn that had been harvested ended up over a cliff about 2 miles away. And, you know, this is attested to by people in the neighborhood and so forth. So we don't have any real reason to doubt that this happened. We don't know what caused it. But, so a fairy being, one of the fairy folk, is quite capable of producing physical manifestations here in our plane of reality. Another one of the things that I talk about is this idea of fairy tracks. There was a thought in Europe, particularly in England and in the UK and Ireland, that there were fairy beings that were, they called them trooping fairies, or that's the classification they've been given by folklorists. They moved from one place to another. And the thought was that the trooping fairies moved on a particular track, a straight line, usually. Which relates to ley lines and all that kind of stuff. But again, we don't want to get too far off track. If you built your house on a fairy track, you were going to have a problem. And I cited a couple of instances where in one case, actually the children of the family started to die, but in another case, the house was plagued by poltergeist-like activity. Wood knocking on the walls and things moving, and all the kinds of things that we associate with poltergeist lore. The fellow that owned this house went to the local wise person and said, "Hey, what's going on with my house?" And they came out and took a look around and said, "Hey, this addition that you put on the house is sitting on a fairy track." So this fellow went, got a stonemason, and had the house modified so that it sat away from the fairy track, and his problem was cured. There was no further disturbances in his home.
This reminds me of the movie Poltergeist, where they build this housing development in suburbia over a former cemetery, and they remove the stones from the cemetery before they build the house. But the problem, of course, is we learn towards the end of the film, they didn't move the bodies, and all sorts of weird things begin to occur because of that. Travis, Gene, Tim, you're in
a Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.